That when we are pursuing God's unique purpose for our lives, it gives us joy, unbelievable joy, great joy, wonderful joy.
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. Pastor Brian Grant calls the story of Gideon one of the great comeback stories of the Bible. In that story, Pastor Grant finds three truths that must guide us as we pursue the pathway to spiritual victory God has chosen for each of us. His points thus far: firstly, we must live with a constant awareness of God's holy presence. Secondly, we must get rid of everything that offends God. Listen with us now as Pastor Grant concludes his message with this third and final point. Here now is Pastor Grant and the pathway to spiritual victory.
First, we must live with a constant awareness of God's holy presence. But second, we must get rid of everything that offends God. Listen, if we really want to be on this pathway to spiritual victory, we must have this awareness of the holiness of God, an awareness that is going to impact my life. But second, I must get rid of everything that offends God. We're in Judges chapter 6, and I want to read verse 25 to 27. Now it came to pass the same night that the Lord said to him, take your father's young bull, the second bull of 7 years old, tear down the altar of Baal that your father has, cut down the wooden image that is beside it. Build an altar to the Lord your God on top of this rock in the proper arrangement, and take the second bull and offer a burnt sacrifice with the wood of the image, which you shall cut down. So Gideon took 10 men from among his servants and did as the Lord had said to him. But because he feared his father's house and the men of the city, too much to do it by day, he did it by night. There's something about us that's always trying to pick a hole in somebody else's spiritual life. When we look at passages like this, I've heard preachers who sometimes, instead of pointing out what Gideon did, they only want to focus on the last part. He did it at night. But aren't you glad he did what God told him? Gideon obeyed God. That's the message. Not that he did it by night. He did it. Amen. Who said that just because you decide to obey God today, you're going to walk out to hear macho, macho, macho man and macho woman, so macho you have no more fear? I have a feeling that when we decide we're going to obey God today, we're still going to have our fears, amen? But the bottom line is, despite my fear, I am going to obey God. Israel was God's earthly chosen people, but despite God's warning that they should not make any graven images, they were worshiping the idol Baal. It's hard to believe these are God's people. And this upset God. God was angry. His people were messing with Baal, and God is angry. But we harbor sin in our lives. Amen. So after Gideon's renewed commitment, his first assignment from God was to tear down his father's altar to Baal. And this was not going to be easy. You know, some of us would have had a hard time doing this. For many of us have had a hard time speaking up for God before relatives and friends who are not Christians. Perhaps there's somebody listening to me this morning, and as you're listening to God, as he speaks to you this morning, he's saying to you, listen, you haven't even told your friends that you know Jesus. They're relatives that you have who don't even, all they know is that you go to church. They don't know that you have received me as your personal savior because you're so afraid that they're Islam or they're whatever they are. But Gideon obeyed God and destroyed the idol that was offensive to God. Is there anything in your life that offends God? Come on now. Young man, lady, is there anything in your life that offends God? He does not like it. Write this in your notes. Unless we get rid of the things that offend God, our progress on the pathway to victory will be negatively impacted. Unless we get rid of the things. You know, I'm not going to give you a long list of stuff. But God is going to speak to each of us, and he's going to point out to each of us things in our lives that are offending him. We must not only get rid of our own stuff, but we must also be careful. Uh-oh, here I go. We must also be careful about what we allow in our homes. For sometimes when our children and family members bring things into our home that offend God, we sit quietly and do nothing. But no matter how grown your children may be, okay, if your grown children decide to bring things into your home that offend God, either they must go or the sinful stuff must go. Are you with me this morning? We cannot bring things into our homes that are offending God. I'm so thankful to have had a dad who lived for God and made it known where he stood. And all our friends and family knew that some things were not allowed in our house, no matter how popular they are. And I was just thinking of my dad and wondering, I didn't have to wonder too long, would he have gone along with the ganja covered with chocolate? You see, the world is hiding stuff under all sorts of covers. All sorts of covers. My parents, I want to urge you, don't allow anything to come into your home that offends God. It's better to offend your children and family members than to offend God. I can't help but remember some years ago we got a call to come and help a family in New Jersey. Brother Charles was here in those days, not me, because I would have been a little flustered as to exactly what is the next step. But this family, they weren't a part of our church, but their son had been dealing with the occult, and they had all these occultist stuff in their homes, and then all sorts of drama starting to happen in their home. All sorts of strange things. And so Brother Charles and others went out to minister to them. Listen, some of us have allowed our kids to bring drugs in the home. All sorts of stuff is in our homes. All sorts of ungodly paraphernalia. All sorts of stuff from the occult. And not every movie ought to be in your house. Not every record ought to be in your house. And God is saying to us this morning, we need, listen, if we really want to be on the pathway to spiritual victory, we must get rid of everything that offends God. Amen. Some may argue, and they'll say, Brian, why do I have to bother about what's in the house? As long as I'm serious about my worship, isn't that good enough? But didn't you notice that in the text, Gideon had already done his worship? Am I right about that? It tells us right there in verse 23. Gideon built an altar to the Lord. In verse 23 and 24, he built his own altar. He was worshiping. The issue was not whether Gideon would worship. Gideon had already established the fact that he's ready to surrender all to God. Amen. The issue is, what was he going to allow in his house? And so Gideon, listen, we got to get rid of everything that offends God if you're serious
pursuing God. You know, I loved what Joshua said in Joshua 24:15. Joshua 24:15. Here's what Joshua said. As for me and my house, we will what? We will serve the Lord. Now, please don't go home, those of you who are married, and you're not getting along with your wives or with your husbands. Please don't go home and say, Brother Brian said, I'm to leave you. You're not living right. I'm to leave you. I never said leave the man or leave that woman if she's not following Jesus. Amen. Pray. In fact, stick closer than glue. Oh, do the exact opposite of what the flesh is telling you. Amen. And you stick closer than glue and you work it out as God helps you. If we truly desire to progress on the path to spiritual victory, we cannot allow Baal's altar to remain standing. It must be God and God alone. So what have we seen so far? First, we must live with a constant awareness of God's holy presence. Second, we must get rid of everything that offends God. And third, we must seek to discover God's kingdom purpose for our life. We must seek to discover God's kingdom purpose for our life. Too many of us got saved at 15 and died at 85 without discovering God's purpose. Judges chapter 6, verse 36. So Gideon said to God, if you will save Israel by my hand, as you have said, look, I shall put a fleece of wool on the threshing floor. If there is dew on the fleece only, and it is dry on all the ground, then I shall know that you will save Israel by my hand, as you have said. And it was so when he rose early the next morning and squeezed the fleece together, he wrung the dew out of the fleece, a bowl full of water. Then Gideon said to God, do not be angry with me, but let me speak just once more. Let me test, I pray, just once more with the fleece. Let it now be dry only on the fleece, but on all the ground let there be dew. And God did so that night. It was dry on the fleece, but there was dew on the ground. Years ago, researchers at the University of California at Berkeley did an experiment in which they introduced an amoeba into a perfectly stress-free environment. Ideal temperature, optimal moisture, constant food supply. The amoeba had a perfect environment. So you guess that would make one happy little amoeba. He had everything. But do you know what happened? Who can guess what happened to this happy little amoeba? It had everything it wanted. Yes, it died. You see, they discovered all living creatures require challenge. Did you hear that? All living creatures require challenge, not just our bodies, but our spirits as well. And God has a special kingdom purpose for each of us that will help us grow. Write this down. Each of us has a unique God-given calling and has been chosen by God to make a unique contribution to his kingdom. Please don't miss that. Every one of us, yes, sir, young man, you, God has a unique calling for you. He has chosen you for a unique purpose, and you have a contribution to make. The question is, do we have any idea what our kingdom purpose is? Warming a bench is not one of them. You know, in a lot of churches,
Folks show up every Sunday. They sing. They go back home. They do nothing. They come back and they feel good because they're not living in open sin. So they believe they're walking with Jesus and they're accomplishing God's purpose because I'm not living in open sin. No, you are not obeying God because God has much more for each of us than to keep the bench warm. God has a unique kingdom purpose for each of us. In God's case, God had chosen him to save Israel from the calamity they were facing. And here's the interesting thing, brothers and sisters. It could very well be that God's kingdom purpose for you does not necessarily fit your normal personality. You see this clearly in Gideon's case. Gideon was naturally a... What helped me? What was he naturally? A coward. Thank you, sister. He was a natural coward. And God was able to use this natural coward to become one of the most valiant leaders in the Bible. Can you imagine that? Sometimes we blame our past too much. We give ourselves excuses because of our personality or because of the family we were raised in. But God doesn't care about your personality or regarding all the drama you have gone through or the stuff you don't have. Because God is the one who's ready to equip you. If it wasn't about what Gideon could do in his own strength, it was what God, listen, that's why we have to continue this story. We got to continue because we've got to see how God takes this born again coward. It turns him to an unbelievable man of valor. And what is, boy, it's amazing what God can do and will do. Listen, it's not a matter what he can do. Young person, he will do it. Just say, God, I am available to you. Sometimes we define our purpose as our profession. Oh, I'm so glad I'm a physician and I'm serving people and I'm serving the Lord. Thank God for that. Oh, I'm a nurse, I'm a teacher, I'm helping the next generation. Oh, we thank God for all of those. In fact, November, we hope to have a special service dedicated to people like the firemen and the police and the military who have done so much to serve us. Yes, we're going to go there. But although God may use our profession to accomplish his purpose, our kingdom purpose also requires the use of God's special gifting. So write this down. God has specially gifted every Christian to accomplish their unique kingdom purpose. Sometimes we're still not getting this. There is a unique kingdom purpose for which God has specially gifted you for. Well, like many of us, Gideon was very reluctant to pursue God's purpose. So Gideon invented the fleece game. You ever played the fleece game? You know about the fleece game? Well, if you didn't hear about the fleece game before, it's right there in front of you. All right? It's right there in front of you in the text that we just read. For 2 days, God went along and played the fleece game with Gideon. What a patient God we have. God plays the fleece game. Someone said, Gideon, get up and do. The first night, Gideon asked God to make the fleece wet, but keep the ground dry. And God did it. The second night, the test was much harder. God was to make the ground wet and keep the fleece dry. And God did it again. What a patient God we have.
I'm so glad, you know, he waited for some of us to go through all. Some of us have played the fleece game. We've invented more games. Some of us have more than just the fleece game, because God has been waiting on some of us for years. Today we heard from Brother Raphael, some of us have been, God has been waiting for some of us to volunteer and say, yes, I'm ready to go to wherever or to be involved in some ministry that may challenge us. But we still haven't gone. We're still playing the fleece game. Still happy that we're giving our offering and we're showing up. We may even sing in the choir, whatever it is. But God has a much bigger plan. Are you willing to be open this morning to God and say, God, I don't want to miss my unique purpose? What a shame it would be if you died without achieving the unique purpose for which God created you. May I tell you? That when we are pursuing God's unique purpose for our lives, it gives us joy, unbelievable joy, great joy, wonderful joy, lasting joy. Yes, when Jesus comes into our heart, that happens too. But oh, I want to encourage you this morning to make sure that God, you are pursuing God's purpose. Gideon ran out of excuses finally and decided to obey God. For he realized that despite the incredible odds against him, if God was on his side, that was enough. Oh, you may say, Pastor, you don't know my background. You don't know my inadequacies. You don't know that I'm a high school dropout. You don't know that I have a prison record. And you can make up all the various things that are against you. And this morning, God is hearing all your issues. But the Almighty God, if he has saved you, the day he saved you, he gifted you specially. And there is a unique gift that he gave you. And he has a unique purpose for you to fulfill. And today, he is asking us, all of us, to come and surrender and to fulfill his purpose. As little Michael played with a very valuable vase, he put his hand inside, but he could not get it back out. His father tried his best to get it out, but he couldn't. So after a while, this little boy, he started crying. His hand was stuck in this vase and they just could not get it out. And so his mother, he started crying. His poor little mom, you know, moms, they'll do everything for the little child. Not that we fathers wouldn't. Am I right, dads? Probably we were going to hold on to the vase just a little bit, the vase, just to make sure there's no other way before we say, break that vase. Mom says, break the vase. Before Dad broke the vase, Dad said to little Mikey, he said, little Mikey, hold out your fingers straight out like I am doing. Little Mikey said, no, I can't do that. Dad said, why? He said, if I held on my fingers, I would have to let go of the dime. Little Mikey's hand was stuck because of the dime. They almost broke this expensive vase because of this dime. Some of us are holding on to the worthless dimes of the world. All the stuff we're holding on. God is saying to us, let it go. I have a special purpose for you, but let it go.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner, need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and He will answer your prayer and He will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ, or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-242-5550 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for online worship this Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. at livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. It would be a pleasure to have you as part of our online audience. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.